Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up praise and worship to our Heavenly Father. We do want to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbors. And in the bulletin, please take a look at the announcement page and understand the activities happening in the fellowship of the church. As always, we're grateful for everyone's assistance with the food pantry. And today is also the last Sunday that we are receiving the July school supply collection. So your contributions to that have been deeply appreciated. Certainly school will be up and running quite soon. Please also take note of the announcement in the bulletin about the sharing box that's now located in the foyer on the wall, just above that little console, to share your thoughts, ideas, praises, or concerns. And next Sunday, Pastor Bob McGee, who was the interim pastor prior to my arrival 8 years ago, will be delivering the messages next Sunday, as myself and Carrie will be taking some vacation time. We're heading up to Minnesota to visit our son and his family and to also share in the baptism service for our three-month-old grandson. Also, so anyway, we're looking forward to that. Thank you. Thank you. It'll actually be our first time to meet him, so we're looking forward to that. Although, you know, with all this Facebook stuff and all that, you know, looking at screens all day long, it seems like you know them already, right? Also next Sunday, please plan to attend the August potluck lunch. It's not listed in the bulletin, but it will take place right after the 11 o'clock service. Next Sunday, cleanup and serving will be done by the Koinonia Sunday School class. So I think these are the main announcements we need to lift up. And Ryan, we welcome you to have our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
With all our hearts, we will thank the Lord in the assembly of his people.
How wonderful are the things the Lord does.
All who are delighted want to understand them.
All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. We'll now sing hymn number 86, all stanzas of Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Throw thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May we pray. Merciful and loving God, we offer you worship on this Sunday morning, the first day of the week, so that our minds and hearts may be focused on your presence as this new week begins. For Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that Christ's message, in all its richness, must live in our hearts, and that everything we do and say should be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we give thanks through him to you, our Father. For the privilege to give you praise and worship, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Sing this morning? Okay. jumping right in. All right. How are you guys this morning? You good? Yeah? Good? Aren't you hot? It's all about fashion. On the front of our program this morning, it says, "You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So what is that word, Abba? Do you know what that means? Well, that's a word that means father. Except when we use the word Abba, it's a big, we honor, it's an honor to say father. That's what, when we call God our father, we do it with great respect and we do it to honor him, don't we? Yeah, and to worship him. And so Abba is just a bigger word. It's a bigger, more important way to say we respect you, we honor you, we worship you, we know that you are so wonderful. And that's what Abba is. It's just to say that we trust you, we love you, we respect you. All of that in one word. One word. To say all of those things from our heart. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? You have a big word that means so many things. So we say that because we have been adopted. We've adopted? Did you know you were adopted? We've been adopted by God. Because, do you remember we talked about the Jewish people and they are God's chosen people? When we give ourselves to God and we receive the Holy Spirit, then he adopts us into his family, into the same family of the Jewish people that he chose. So now we're part of all of that because we've received the Holy Spirit. That's why we do it, to be part of God's big family. Yeah? Should we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these children. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the opportunity to receive us into your family with your blessings and your mercies and your grace. Help us to always remember that you are indeed Abba, the great one, the one we should honor and respect and love. Help us to share your love, your mercy, your grace with all of those that we meet each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we go to God in prayer this morning, our sympathy is extended to Connie and Klaus Stark and Connie's parents, Lou and Jan Embry, as Connie's older brother, Dennis Embry, of McPherson, Kansas, passed away rather suddenly from a heart attack. And so Connie and Klaus were making their way to Kansas, at the latter part of this past week. Our sympathy is extended also to David and Patty Tarver with the passing of David's cousin, Peggy Sullivan, of Brookside in the southern part of Kansas City. And David was quite close to his cousin, Peggy, as she was like a sister to him. So we keep them in prayer. Also, we continue to keep in prayer Ken Weaver's brother, Terry, in Colorado, and we also want to lift up Ed and Shirley Keel. Ed is now at the Johnson County Rehabilitation Center over in Overland Park. He took a fall at home and ended up at the hospital of St. Luke's here on Berry Road, basically as a fracture, but it's actually in the lower back area and making it difficult for him to walk, etc. So that's why he is in physical therapy. I think it's going to be a period of time that he will be there, so please keep them in prayer. Dolly Llewellyn was also at North Kansas City Hospital for several days this past week, but she is now home, but been dealing with pneumonia and a lung infection. We also remember Tim Jackson, our custodian. He had that procedure on his heart this last Monday. Everything progressed as it needed to, and he is home, but should be back here at the church tomorrow morning helping us out. And we lift up Bob Settles and Linda Stevens and Louise Russick, Kathy Archer, and Lauren Kirby. Also, we continue our prayers for Susan Hanks. She's gaining more mobility, and that is certainly encouraging. We also continue our prayers for Jerry and Betty Donahue, Philip Woods, Alice Estes, as well as Johnny Sturwalt, Michelle Vales, Samantha Sander, and Beth Whitten. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we recognize that it is a great privilege for us to assemble in your house to offer you praise and worship this Sunday and every Sunday morning. As Christ our Lord arose from the dead on a Sunday, this day has been declared as the first day of a new week, and certainly the best day to offer you praise, in hopes that every day we will always lift up your name in praise and honor. As the psalmist declares in Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Here in your house, we are humbled by the truth that your love is so very great for every one of us that you welcome us all with your great grace and love. And even though humanity has sinned against you, O God, through your Son Jesus, you have provided the avenue for our redemption and salvation. Indeed, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, not only are we saved from damnation, but we are privileged to share in the glory of your eternal realm. As Paul tells us, we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. For the place you give us in the glory of your kingdom, we offer you thanksgiving and praise as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
At the end of a hard day's work, the rancher or the farmer may step back and survey the expanse of their lands and all it produces. The construction worker, while walking toward a pickup at the end of a good day's work, may also look back and with satisfaction consider all that was constructed in a day's time. As we turn to this morning's communion hymn, the author, Charles Wesley, is prompting us not to stop and survey our property or the work of our hands, but rather to pause and survey the wonders of the cross of Christ. For as we consider what Christ endured, that we might have life eternal, everything else pales by comparison. It is thus with humility and thanksgiving that we sing the words of Charles Wesley's hymn, which he thought was the most notable of the more than 5,000 hymns that he composed, as we also partake in the bread and cup of the Lord's table. As Wesley writes in that first verse, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Our communion hymn number 195, "When I survey the wondrous cross," we sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, contempt on all my pride. sent far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we praise and glorify you. Hear our prayers for communion and cleanse us as we partake of your holy communion. You have died on Calvary for our redemption. For that reason alone, we dedicate our lives to pleasing you and doing the things that follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
in his personal instructions to the young evangelist Timothy, in the close of 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes, "Command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope not in such an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. In this way, they will store up for themselves a treasure which will be a solid foundation for the future." And of course, the future he's talking about is not of this world, it is the eternal. And he says, "And then they will be able to win the life that is true eternal life." We receive our tithes and offerings as Roxy. Firstly, just a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, bless these tithes and offerings we are about to receive. Help us to use them wisely throughout our community and our world. Bless our church and our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God from Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. We have other verses we'll share as we go through the message today, but I focus to start with here with Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus said, as he was in prayer before God in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what is to be your will." This is a rather short verse, but the focus of our message this morning is the way that Jesus addresses God, "Abba, Father," just as Kathy was sharing that with the children this morning. May we pray. Merciful God, we are in awe and in deep appreciation of your great love for us. For as Paul tells us in Galatians 4, as we humbly accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we are privileged to become children of the Most High God. For the assurance of this great truth, we give you thanks. In Christ's name, Amen. This past Thursday evening, I traveled to Omaha to spend the evening and Friday morning with our son Jonathan, as he happened to be that close by. It's just about, 3 hours up there to Omaha from here. He was close enough that he said, "Dad, come on up, spend the night with me." And so we kind of had some time to just be father and son. And it was a wonderful occasion. But as I walked through the entrance of the hotel that was a part of the convention center, a significant size of the lobby was startlingly impressive. The ceiling that soared above me was about 3 stories high, and the vastness of the open lobby space seemed rather extraordinary. You know, again, it's just kind of like, you know, you're outside just doing your thing, all of a sudden you just walk in and it's like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this, right? You're just not expecting that height. You really couldn't kind of tell that's what it was going to be when you were looking at the outside of the building. But being immediately greeted by a deceptively massive openness makes one feel both special and humbled at the same moment. We can feel rather privileged, if you will, to make our way into extraordinary spaces. Imagine being a guest at the Biltmore Hotel in Colorado Springs, or maybe a guest at the Vanderbilt Mansion in Hyde Park, New York, or better yet, we know is the case for Ryan, you know, imagine walking into the lofty space of some of the ancient cathedrals in Europe. And you had that opportunity, Ryan. We saw some of your pictures, right? Imagine just coming into the entrance, you're not really sure what to expect, and you just walk in, it's like, whoa, look at this. Such massively open yet still enclosed human spaces evoke a feeling of awe and wonder and cause one to stop in one's tracks and to simply look skyward as if the space could carry you toward eternity. And you know, that is one of the reasons why cathedrals in Europe were built the way they were, to draw the parishioners' attention to the heavenliness, the holiness of God. Yet, however one may feel, whether one be awestruck, humbled, or even privileged, we know that even as we pause in these great spaces created by humanity, we are still, after all, merely guests. And the day and the time comes that we must depart and return to our own rather modest and humble, though certainly comfortable, homes, typically with 8-foot ceilings and often spaces no larger than, say, 12 by 15 at the most, right? But just imagine, however, what would it feel like to enter a gloriously massive space and realize that you are more than a guest. You are more than a visitor. What would it feel like to realize that you, yes, you, have been declared to be the heir of this vast and grand space, and that this grand space is indeed yours, as many of those television shows on those, home makeover channels. What is that? HDTV? I forget. And they call those special houses what? Your forever home. You know, I've lived long enough and experienced the lives of enough people, I realize there's really nothing called a forever home. You know, you're just borrowing stuff for a while. And there comes a time where you have to let it go. No matter what it is, you got to let it go sometime. But anyway, it is an extraordinary thought to remember that our Lord Jesus, though, tells us in John chapter 14, "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you unto myself so that you may be where I am." These are truly comforting and reassuring words, especially when a loved one is passing into the Lord's presence. These are words we shared with Don Thomas's family, even as he was passing into the Lord's presence. But I don't think we really grasp onto the magnitude of glory that truly awaits us in God's heavenly realm. And the real magnitude of God's extraordinary heavenly realm is really tied up in the way that our Lord Jesus and even the Apostle Paul address God in the simple but yet remarkable expression, Abba, Father. Jesus shares a truly intimate expression of his relationship with God in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Jesus is praying of Abba, Father, all things are possible. Take this, what I want, but what you want. The word Abba here is an Aramaic word. It was very familiar and a cultural context for Jesus in his time. And here Jesus is expressing the most honorable name for God that he possibly can. I think we just really don't quite get the idea of just how significant this is. And it is, of course, the same as the Greek word in the language that was also familiar in that day. Father here is pater. But both simply mean the word father, but this doesn't mean someone is saying, well, hey, Dad or Daddy. This means that when someone says, Abba, Father, one is just lifting up as if you're just raising your hands up and skyward and you're saying, oh, all praise and glory be to you, Father. But it is not to perceive God as being up out there and distant from us. It is to experience the great glory of God, his holiness, and to recognize that we are a part of it, not separate from it. We are a part. We embrace, God embraces us, and we embrace that great glory with honor and respect. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16 is the second time in the Bible, in the New Testament here, that Abba, Father is used. Those of us who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. By the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits, and we are indeed declared to be the children of God. Here in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is lifting up the significance of our confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as he declares a bit earlier in the same chapter of verse 10, Paul writes, Christ lives in you, the Spirit is life for you because you have been put right with God. And in the 11th verse, he says, if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from death lives in you, then he who raised Christ from death also gives life to your mortal bodies. And of course, that life is this eternal life. By the presence of the Spirit in you. This life that Paul is talking about is certainly eternal life. And in this state of salvation, Paul is telling us that as God's Holy Spirit blesses us, we are compelled to cry out to God in a way that helps us feel that profound personal intimacy, not with Daddy, but with the all-glorious, heavenly, Creator God. You see the difference? I hope you do. That's what I'm trying to get across. Now, there is then a third context here, a final time that the expression Abba, Father is used. It's in this text here of Romans 8, 14 through 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. Here again, the Apostle Paul repeats this theme that we are children of God, cared for and certainly blessed as members of God's grand family. But the truth is that we must grasp onto the notion that this happens to us when? When we make that confession of faith. We have to understand the significance of the confession if we are truly to be embraced by God as a part of the family of God. And then, being heirs and joint heirs with Christ is most succinctly emphasized in Romans chapter 8, the 17th verse, as Paul tells us, Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Imagine being a full brother or sister with our Lord Jesus and to be in that experience in the heavenly realm. We will offer all praise and glory to God in great awe and wonder of His majesty. But we will also be going to a privileged context through that confession of faith. We are indeed members of the family. Imagine then, walking into a magnificent hotel lobby or even a grand cathedral. There you are merely a guest. You'll never be owner or operator, so to speak. But as you and I will one day be privileged to enter the grand realm of God's heavenly kingdom, Jesus and the Apostle Paul, in this expression of Abba, Father, are reminding us that we come into full membership, full familyness, if you will, full ownership of all that is of God's heavenly realm. You see the difference? You know, we so often look at God as being, well, He's the old man up on the throne upstairs. Well, and here we are down in our lowly place. And we just feel we've got this grand distance between us. And we feel like we don't belong to anything as we muddle around through our earthly stuff day by day. What I think we need to understand with this expression of Abba, Father, shared by our Lord Jesus and also by the Apostle Paul, is it is declaring that, no, we're not separated. We are a part of God's family. But it is a grand family, and we possess, if you will, the presence of God's heavenly realm, which is greater than any human space that could ever be created. Embrace that and celebrate that as you go through this new week. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day where you can come forward and you can be declared as a true child of God. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation, Oh, How I Love Jesus. We're going to sing all stanzas. Hymn number 99, please.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. He It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Because he first loved me.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the best this week. Remind you to carry on and be driving back next Sunday. I'm grateful for Bob McGee coming and taking my place next Sunday morning. And Kathy Connell will certainly be on call and taking care of any pastoral concerns in my absence. May we pray. Lord God, we're privileged to be in your house and to recognize as we make that confession of faith, we are indeed children of the Most High God. For this great joy, we give thanks as we depart and as we journey forward with the task of this new. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing. Loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.